Your countdown clock has now terminated function. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up.
Right now, having a national security scare is actually good political news for the president and the White House and the Republican Party.
Warning, you will be monitored by CCTV.
But the problem today is that the situation is so large and so all-encompassing that whatever is going to happen, the whole world is going to feel it. Everything. Everyone's going to feel this one.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Illuminating Radio. Alex Ansari. Outside the Box.
Welcome to the second hour of Outside the Box. We're plotting our escape route from the Matrix. We invite you to join us. Join us. Kyle from Texas is with us. So is Ernst from Arizona. Let's go to Ernst first and then bring back Kyle. How you doing?
Hey, Alex. How are you?
Doing well.
Hey, good, good. Thank you for having me here. The one thing that I wanted to say, and it's very, very short topic because I'm not a man of very many words, but you had mentioned earlier and probably throughout your segment about a lot of the world conditions that are unfolding and at times how confusing they can be. And the one thing that I wanted to mention, you know, to all my friends out there and maybe even opposers, but whatever the case, is that regardless of what's going on out there, there's a lot of things unfolding. Regardless of what's going on out there, I just want to say I hope everybody can stay focused and concentrate on a resolution. That being, we know that there's bad management out there. That's obvious. The powers that be, there's a lot of bad management, and there's a lot of bad things resulting because of that. And if people could just focus on, just like the radio network, we the people, if we the people, all the people could just focus on finding solutions, no matter what that entails, even if it means fighting. And I don't condone anything in terms of violence. I hope to God that that's the last thing that would ever happen. But whatever it takes to restore our beautiful republic, and you know, I get a little emotional when I talk about this stuff, but I feel so bad for what our forefathers and for what all the people that put their lives down for this beautiful republic, if they can just see what was going on today, it would, there's not even words for it. But I just hope that everybody will, when the time comes, pull together and do something about it, because contribution starts at home. It does matter what's going on in the world, and I understand that on a global scale, you know, everything is sort of intertwined, but contribution starts at home first. In this country, we've got to do something about bad management. We've got to pull together no matter what, because in the end, you know, we can't become complacent. You know, we've got to maybe drop a few pounds, set aside some of our luxuries if we have to for a while, whatever sacrifice needs to be made. If that's what we got to do, then that's what we got to do. And hopefully people will not be complacent when the time comes, because something is going to happen. When the time comes, hopefully people will band together, pull together, just like the forefathers did, just like all the people that shed blood and laid down the ultimate sacrifice in whatever shape or form.
I think we got to get brave. I think that what you're talking about is, I agree with you that we can't give up the hope. We have to get brave. I mean, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we know it's going to be something, and we have to pull ourselves up and face our own fears without a doubt.
Sure. And all I want to say in conclusion is, and this goes out to everybody, please, I plead with you, with everything that I have in my mind, my heart, and my soul, I plead with you, fight, people. Fight while you can. Because, yes, the powers that be, they are big because we've let them get big. And we've let them do a lot of things that, you know, they shouldn't be doing. That's an understatement. But we have the numbers. We have the power legally with the pen, with the papers, and other means if it comes down to that. But we can do it. So, please, something about it, because it's better that we fight. Even if we have to pay the ultimate sacrifice, I'd rather go that way than live a life on my knees under tyranny. You know, just like Thomas Jefferson brought out, you know, that, you know, we have to fight tyranny, and that's the bottom line, no matter what we have to do. But that's all I have to say. Thank you very much for having me. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Ernst. Kyle, do you have any comments?
Yeah, you know, just, you know, what he was saying earlier, you know, how our founding fathers would be, you know, kind of rolling over in their graves. You know, this kind of ties back to, you know, what we were talking about before with the fantasy football and everything, and, you know, how that's so diametrically opposed, how we don't fight for anything except for the little petty things that matter in life. And here's here's an excellent quote from Benjamin Franklin that he had in Paul Richards' Almanac, and also in one of his essays called The Way to Wealth. And it's, women, wine, game, and deceit make the wealth small and the wants great. You know, and I think that's, you know, how this whole New World Order system, you know, applies itself today. You know, it gets us wanting all these things, diminishing our wealth and diminishing our activity and the things that could, you know, indeed, you know, make ourselves wealthy. Now, I'm not talking about this materially, but spiritually. And, so that's kind of, you know, my whole take there.
And I understand what he was saying about fighting, and people are going to be facing different challenges, however, in different places. So it's going to be tough. It is already tough gauging where the safe places are. I mean, we already have stories now, right now. I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm talking about these brigades. They're going to be coming back to police America under NORTHCOM. And this isn't a drill. I mean, this is their mission.
To police
America, the anticipation
here.
Of a big, big event going down.
I believe this is the real thing here. I mean, this is them actually pulling actual troops. And the timing is really, really weird, too. I mean, October 1st, right before the elections, I mean, we've heard rumors that they might, you know, suspend the elections and everything. I mean, I don't buy too much into rumors, but, you know, if I start seeing the evidence for it, then I'll start to pay more attention to it, and it seems that we might be on our way there. I'm not totally 100% convinced as of right now, you know, until we see something else. I mean,
Hey, Kyle, I don't like to cry wolf. You know, there's a lot of people really alarmed about this stuff, and they've been doing this stuff for a while. They got so-called non-lethal weapons. I mean, they're ready to go, and it's alarming, but we should stay cool and not cry wolf. I mean, they do these drills over and over and over, and I think there's a component of it that is completely equal to psychological warfare. Because if you make people afraid that you're going to hurt them, sometimes you can defeat people psychologically before firing a single shot.
Yeah, Sun Tzu, man. What is it? Make the enemy think he's about to lose before you fire even one arrow.
Yeah. That's why they tell us what their plans are and how much technology they have. Even though they developed this stuff 40 years ago, they just put it out there on Wire.com. All what DARPA's doing with their exoskeletons and their future combat systems and their robotic armies and their facial recognition cameras. And it's all open. None of this stuff. Why worry about being spied on for talking about this stuff? This is all just public stuff.
Yeah. As I said, you know, it's all public out there. I mean, you know, it's kind of a weird thing. They kind of want us to know it's out there too. And then I guess it's a kind of a test too. When you tell people out there that this stuff exists, or they're called too crazy, you need Prozac, or just name your psychotropic drug out there. They think you need it when it's actually all out there in the open. And I want to thank you for kind of, you know, just pulling me back and, you know, to that psychological, you know, warfare angle there, because, you know, that's just something else. You know, we always kind of have to, we also have to consider into our calculations too, is the enemy doing this for psychological warfare reasons? Because, you know, as I said before, you know, we can work with certain people, but there's certain times too when there's people out there that just want to come after you. I mean, you know, I don't know what your take is on that, but, you know, I've experienced that sometimes you can negotiate all you can with people, but sometimes they just want to have it in for you. And, you know, sometimes, too, I think they'll go to any extent as to, you know, threatening force, you know, showing force, and that's all part of the psychological warfare part of the equation. And,
Yeah, personally, I've been able to avoid a lot of, you know, confrontations myself, because I'm just so focused on my work. But in terms of psychological warfare, though, you know, a lot of people go, well, you know, this is such a complex thing you're talking about. I just don't understand how a few human beings can be behind it all. And what they're doing psychologically in terms of, you know, warping our human consciousness through all the stuff going on, it seems to affect a whole lot of people. Is it just a human conspiracy? I mean, what's really going on with this new world order? And I've said on a repeated basis that we have to admit that we have to continue to investigate it no matter how deep it gets, because we don't really know what's really going on. We don't really know why all this is taking place. I mean, we have all this information, right, about the Trilateral Commission, the CFR, and the the Bilderberg Group and the OTO, but I mean, we only see, you know, just a limited amount of information as to what they're really up to and who they're working for. So how do you view that whole area of discussion right there, the question as to what's really going on?
You know, well, we've heard everything from, you know, 13 families to, the top of a pyramid, things like that. But a thought that's kind of entered my head lately is, you know, what if, you know, the whole Illuminati thing, and I'm just putting out this out here as a thought, you know, and just an avenue to be investigated. You know, what if the whole cop of them using the cop of being the Illuminati or all the stuff out there is actually out there to make us think that they're all knowing and all powerful? You know, that's a very interesting angle to that. They cover it up with something, a facade of they're in total control of everything. But if we pull away the facade, as I've been starting to do, and I start to realize, well, hey, maybe it's not 13 families running it. Maybe it's just a lot of interconnected interests, and they all have their own agendas, and they know how they can work with each other on some things and then totally go against it later. In other words, they're just playing politics, but on a larger world scale. You know, something, you know, you and I, we might have a hard time comprehending because we don't see it ourselves. You know, kind of like how when the idea that we go into high school and we realize things are made of atoms, we have a hard time coming to realization because we don't deal with things on that dimension. You know, that's kind of my take on it. So we have to be able to think on different dimensional levels when it comes to how the world geopolitical system works. I think if we just accept make the assumption that 13 families run it, or, you know, or even my case that, you know, it's a bunch of interconnected interests, if we make those basic assumptions from the start and we don't test those assumptions every now and then I think we're setting ourselves up to possibly later down the road be misinformed.
Oh, hold that thought, Kyle. Sorry for the delay. Christopher in Texas, we're going to bring you on. How are you doing this evening?
I'm really interested in your topic because that's a topic that's been a real big issue for me. I'm actually trying to start a group on one of my campuses here in San Antonio, Texas, at Northwest Vista, called FLAG, People's Liberty Action Group. And, you know, one of the main things that I found was I personally got introduced to everything through, like, Alex Jones and the whole 9/11 truth movement, and, you know, it was revolutionary for me. But from there, I've just been introduced to so many other things like GMO and fluoride in our water and, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's how it works. Like, for me, 9/11 was just a small thing, and it exploded like dynamite into all these different directions.
It blew my mind. And so from there, it's kind of gone into this intricate, like, oh, my God, I'm screwed. But yet, it's amazing. Every day is like a beautiful thing, but yet every day is kind of like a sad thing. But yet, you know, I think what I found is, you know, because I think that once you become educated, once you become informed, you're obligated to inform and educate other people. You know, and it's an important thing that, you know, is bestowed upon people, you know, who find that knowledge. And, you know, for me, one thing was, is I tried to educate my wife about it. And, you know, I told her all about 9/11. I showed her all these documentaries, you know, Terraform and all that stuff. But the thing was, is she was kind of like, yeah, oh, my God, that's interesting. But, like, kind of like, eh, okay, I'm not really going to get involved. Never went to do Ron Paul marches on with me, or never went out and handed any flyers out. You know, never really took a lot of interest until we had our kid. You know, she's 7 months old. And, you know, from there, it became, you know, are we going to vaccinate? you know, our what do we feed our child, you know? And then from there, we looked in the vaccines together. You know, she even took it further. I mean, she knows even more than I do. She knows so much about vaccines and how deadly they are and all the things that are in them. And we've got a really good book. You know, and from there, she took it from that. And then we started looking at the GMO and what are we going to feed our kid? And like, and then it integrated into our life. And what are we going to eat? You know, are we going to eat organic? And how can we afford this? And how are we going to go about this? And then it went into, you know, all the other aspects. And I think the main thing is to find that focus to where, you know, you have to find the focus where people can actually relate, because it's got to apply to them for them to be able to be opened up to everything else. Because I think that it's all a big circular motion. It's one big circle. You know, they get involved at one point, but, it, you know, that one point's going to spark everything else. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, well, like my wife with vaccines. Now, you know, it's intricated under everything, or just, you know, you, 9/11 Truth, you get involved in that. But it all kind of circumventilates into to where, you know, just one way or another, if you can find a way to relate to those people. And so what I found is if you can find it just to, instead of, like, when I first got involved in it, you know, like, I got disowned by my own family. You know, I was such a huge 9/11 truther person who, you know, was so passionate about it. And you know, just, I've met so many people, you know, and it automatically turns people off. They just run away, you know, with their head screaming, saying, "You're crazy," and "Get away from me, you freak." And I think that's the biggest mistake that a lot of us make, because I think that, you know, people need to rationalize things, and it also needs to hit them at home. And I think that addressing corporations, for one, I've found corporations have a part of everybody's everyday
life. Chris, we got a break. Hold that thought. I mean, this is some real interesting stuff. Kyle from Texas is with us as well. And we'll still take some phone calls at 512-646-1984. We'll be back in just a few.
Radio.
Well, what I can say is that we have evolved to the point of doing these shows for free on WTPRN, where we're getting this information out in a way that we weren't able to years ago. So, you know, in terms of some hope, you know, we have, you know, a little bit of evolution that we have to experience now to figure out how to bring the message forth in the next 10 years, 15 years, when things change. And things do change. And so we kind of do have to get prepared and see where we do have some potential. But Kyle in Texas, didn't want to leave you out of the conversation.
You know, Chris, one of the things, you know, out there is, you know, that a lot of the stuff out there is, you know, when you realize that there's so much out there to do, it's like, well, I find out there's flood water, I need to start, you know, buying water filters, you know, there's GMO food out there, and they start eating organic. I mean, there's so many angles they want to hit us at that we start to panic. And I think that's one of the things they want us to do when we find out this information, is they want us to panic. And, you know, As serious as information is, I always find that when you attack any situation, calm and collected, we have to remember this with anything, that if we approach it calm, collected, rationally, and we try to devise a plan, you know, that's ultimately that's going to save us in the end. And, you know, taking personal responsibility and just, you know, trying to find our words here. But trying to do what's best for yourself in the time with what you have.
Yeah, we hear you. I mean, work with what you have. Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think that's been one of the problems with, like let's say, the 9/11 Truth Movement, is because, I mean, most people that I've known and met, you know, I was in Austin for 2 years, the past, you know, just before I moved here a couple months back to San Antonio. You know, people, when they found out, we freak out, and we've got to feel like we've got to run up to every person and, like, shake them, you know. And like you said, we're freaking out, and we don't know what to do, and we've got to tell everybody, and we're freaking out because we don't even know what to do. And like you said, we need to take a few steps back, you know, collect ourselves, become calm, you know, think these things through, and figure out a way to address these people to where we can really get these messages through. You know, and that's what I've kind of been trying to do, because I did the first part, you know, and I lost a lot of people I cared about. You know, they just totally shut me out, and that was a harsh thing for me. You know, it was hard to be cut off, especially for my own family. It didn't want to even talk to me, you know. And so from there, though, I've tried to take new angles, and I'm learning as I go to how to communicate to people. Because before this, you know, 2 years ago, you know, I thought George Bush was good, and then everything was, you know, roses and coming up daisies, and, you know, and so I kind of been in shock for the last few years, because it's been a two-year ride so far, but yet it's been constant. I'm learning new things every day, you know, and it's just like, it's still, to this day, so overwhelming. But like you said, unless we calm down and collect ourselves and really think these things through, it's really easy to get lost in a lot of these issues.
It's also good for our own safety to pick our shots when we talk about this stuff with some people in the future that have been programmed to view us as the enemy. And that component is there. Not with everybody or every member of the military. It's going to be patrolling the American streets. Not everyone, but, I mean, it's kind of being put out there in the general consensus through psychological warfare. So we got to be kind of, I hate to use the word, intuitive or perceptive to those that we can connect with. And it's good to connect with people in the flesh. You know, we're doing this on the web right now, and there's a lot of people that want to find other people just like them in their communities, but it can be a scary thing for a lot of people. You know, how they put that stuff out there about COINTELPRO, and people know about it. People fear it so much that I see so many people run around chasing their tail, thinking that, this person or that person's COINTELPRO, or asking constantly all the time. People asking me, what do you think about Alex Jones? Do you think he's an agent? And it's like, why do people, it just gets so obsessive with people. And it's like you say, well, Alex Jones has a unique character, and sometimes he's egotistical and, you know, commercializes stuff, but he's doing a good job, blah, blah, blah. You just try to do the basic defense. But it just, no, there's something big behind it all. So it's just like, you know what? So in the end, I think we're in this on our own sometimes to a certain degree, but we're still trying to get this out here for a reason, because it's going to come down to feeding yourself, I guess, for a lot of people.
I think that's the main thing, too, is just to try to do what you can. You know, connect people. I mean, like, literally. I mean, like, you know, one thing that was great for Ron Paul and his movement was the meetup group. You know, we have the internet. You know, while we still have it, let's utilize it. You know, we've really got to connect with the people that are in our local communities, though. You know, because that's where it starts, is our, you know, I mean, that's where it starts in our government. You know, local government is, if you want to make any kind of change, if you want to get the fluoride out of your water, you know, if you want to make certain things laws or rules, it starts with your local government. So if you want to make change, you've got to educate the people around you, and you've got to get involved in that government to make any kind of difference. And that's what people get lost in. You know, it seems like today, you know, everybody's, you know, like even with the Ron Paul movement, everybody's so involved with the presidential election. Like, it really matters. Does it really matter? Because I don't think it does, because in reality, I mean, as we've seen in the past two elections, our state doesn't even say, even if we say no, because they can still change the results, or, you know, they'll elect people in the Supreme Court who will say no, you know. I mean, they'll, no matter what, these people seem to be able to get their agenda accomplished. So,
and no matter what, it's going to have to come from within each individual to make that choice to get really involved. They're going to have to see it, what we're talking about, relevant to them. And no matter how much you sweet talk them, you know, they got to want it. You got to want freedom. You got to feel the stuff in your soul and your heart like we do. They got to really understand what we're talking about. You know, you have to kind of, you know, be at least dialed in to something. You just can't have it told to you. Like, this is what happened on 9/11. Here's the police state. Here are the cameras. Here's the riot cops. Look what's happening. Look at history. You know, some people are still in the trance. They have to feel it. They have to feel that impending danger, almost like as if their instincts are still working.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth, though. I mean, you really said it. I mean, it's got to apply to them. It's got to hit them at home. And if it doesn't hit them at home, forget about it. What does it matter? Who cares? I mean, let me go on with my life. It's not, you know, I mean, because, yeah, you know, it's just like my dad, you know, he's a Republican conservative. You know, I was talking to him one time, and we were in a little debate, and he said, you know, I told him, you know, hey, there's been over 1 million Iraqis dead. And he said, well, what the hell did you care about Iraqis before the Iraqi war? You didn't give a doggone about them, you know, if they died or lived before this. well, you know, and at the time it kind of sent me back, and I was like, well, okay, maybe I didn't. But then I was like, you know what, that was before I was awakened, before I realized how precious human life was, before I understood things, you know. And, you well, know, it's just yeah. that kind of mentality that sets us back, you know. Disassociates yeah, us.
You go ahead.
And that's the biggest thing I think, you know, I try to communicate people, you know, lately is because, you know, I've been trying to recruit people to get my group started is I'm trying to portray the idea that, dude, these guys divide and conquer. Liberals versus, you know, conservatives, you know, Republicans versus Democrats, you know, Muslims versus Christians, you know, I mean, they separate
the
us.
The jocks versus the geeks, the goths versus the squares.
Divide and conquer.
It goes on and
divide
on.
And conquer. And it really does work, though. It's the easiest way to dominate people, and guess what? They've mastered it, and guess what? We're so susceptible to it. You know, we're really
very old game.
Are,
very
know.
Old game. Very, very scientific today. Oh, and
yeah,
add the supercomputers to the mix. And it gets all very interesting. Well, we have a break coming up. You guys can stay. Others can join at 512-646-1984. I know there are other things going on in the world, you know, outside of just this realm. Let's see. The economy's tanking. There's a war merging or getting ready to take place between maybe Russia and the U.S. I don't know. But if anybody wants to bring up anything, you can go ahead and do that. I know that CERN has been postponed for a year until 2009. Apparently, there was some sort of an accident there recently. Apparently, they were hacked. And so that's the latest that I have on CERN. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to the show. We have about a half hour left of this broadcast here. We're here just once a week here on WTPRN, and the number is 512-646-1984. I just want to just go from some of the, we have two people on the line, Kyle and Chris. First, Kyle, do you have any opinions on CERN at all? There's a lot of – go ahead.
Yeah, actually, you know, because I'm actually studying to be an electrical engineer, so I've kind of, you know, found the whole, you know, thing of CERN actually very, very interesting, you know, just from what it is. But I remember that when they were building it, they had a problem that one of the electromagnets dropped, and I think there was maybe kind of a problem caused by that. But I hadn't heard that they'd been hacked.
Yeah, so, both of those things happened. Chris, did you hear, what's your take?
Actually, I CERN's new to me. I try to stay in the loop as much as possible, but I don't have, you know, cable TV news or anything like that. I just, you know, have the internet. So
super collider about 100 feet underneath Geneva, Switzerland. I also heard some rumors about it being moved somewhere else, and it's postponed till spring 2009. Because of an accident. So, officially, and I say officially, it was supposed to be some sort of a scientific recreation, so they say, of the Big Bang. You know, who knows what else is going on or if that's really what it is. And some people speculated that could be the end of the world. And I thought that was fear right away, more fear-mongering, you know, more of a distraction while these other things are taking place. But I still think there's something significant about CERN, and I think its real origins are still hidden.
You know,
it's real intention.
I think that's another good example of just like, you know, these scientists and governments playing God. I mean, you know, you've got obviously CERN, you've got people like HARP who, you know, are just, you know, sending these, you know, magnetic fields, these, you know, I mean, ridiculously amounts of power into the atmosphere, and then it beams back, and I mean, I've heard it can cause earthquakes, it can, cause and change the direction of hurricanes. You know, it puts holes in the atmosphere, and I mean, just all these enormous things that they don't, they don't know what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing, or maybe they do. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Or maybe they do something that causes something that they don't intend to happen. I mean, when you're tampering with the forces of nature and you're talking about weather modification, there are, I believe, many unintended consequences. Anyway, there's something going on with Ike, by the way, too. I noticed that there was an ABC reporter that confronted Governor Rick Perry in Texas. Hey, you guys should be talking about this. Let's get your take on that. Hurricane Ike. So apparently over near Galveston, not directly there, but near there, near the coast, where the bodies were washing up, or apparently there were a lot of dead. The news choppers weren't allowed over that area in aerospace for some reason. That was some order from the federal government. And that video is up on YouTube. Kyle, do you have a take on that?
Yeah, actually, I used to be from that area. I recently moved up to Austin about 2-3 years ago, right after the scare with Hurricane Rita and all that. But we had to evacuate, and it took about 10 hours to get over here and to where my grandma lives near Austin. And so I'm kind of close to the situation. I have friends that are still without power down there, and they're just first letting people onto the island now. But going back to what you're saying about how they were restricting people from going onto the or over the airspace because there were bodies washing up, it's probably because they didn't want to scare people enough because they want to have the idea that they had everything under control as opposed to Katrina. Because remember during Katrina, media was able to get in and they were able to show all the devastation and everything. Whereas if you look at Ike and everything, yeah, Ike caused some damage and everything, but if you look at the cost of human life, it's almost non-existent that they're reporting. They're controlling that aspect very, very well, when I know for a fact because of local media and from what I heard in Houston and, some of my friends back in Houston, that a lot of people stayed and there were people on that island. And unfortunately, if you saw some of the devastation down there, if they stayed in some of those houses, there's probably more people that we didn't make it through that disaster. And they're trying to hide that fact.
Christopher, do you know anything?
Yeah, actually, not as much as just, that it was. Yeah, I mean, just that, actually, no, I really haven't heard enough to have a really good opinion on it. Other than that, I agree with him as far as, they definitely do want to cover up that kind of thing. And yeah, the other thing too, though, is what kind of bugged me is that, a lot of people in my classes here in San Antonio are saying, people are stupid for staying behind. But I mean, it's just like how many other times and how many other things have they said, you need to get out of there, you need to evacuate, why should I leave my home just because you tell me to, type thing. And I don't know how I feel about that mentality because I'm sorry, but we hear all these scare tactics and then we're kind of like, well, should we leave? And it's like those.
I think that was creepy how Mayor Nagin of New Orleans said, "You have to leave. You will be arrested." That whole threat, like, "You will not get aid. You have to leave." It's almost like people are being trained to live the refugee experience, line up in Houston for some water and some food, while 300 National Guardsmen go without food and water. And a local representative asks the local population to bring them food and water, even though the federal government says don't do that. I mean, it's just like, what's going on?
That's what scares me is because, what are we getting to, I mean, are we being, like you said, are we kind of being conditioned here to, because, like we said, a lot of people don't want to admit it, but we have the power to control weather. We have the power to modify things and make things more stronger. And we have the power to, divert things and drive them to our coast. Who's to say that, Louisiana, that wasn't an inside job. It was to say that, Galveston wasn't an inside job. There's no telling.
China? I mean, they seem to just be continuously having, typhoons and floods and quakes. And Iran and both China both had a 6.1 earthquake in the day that CERN started up. I don't know if there's a connection. On September 10th of this year, Iran had a 6.1 earthquake, same magnitude as China. And, they have a typhoon right now hitting them, I think.
Yeah, I've actually seen some documentaries on that, and I posted a couple up on one of my sites, and I've seen that, and this one guy was talking about how he saw those 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 weird colors and waves that are in the sky. There's video footage of that in China before one of their major earthquakes that happened a couple months back. And it was during the time that they were having some kind of huge meeting and they didn't want to go along with America or something. It was like Japan, I think. And I was just like, oh, my God. You know, it makes sense, though. You know, I mean, if a government is able to control weather, I mean, they're able to control us because, we're not going to, the majority of people aren't going to sit there and be like, oh, my God, you know, we can, oh, that's got to be our government. That tornado, that's definitely Bush's job. You know, I mean, that's like irrational to most people. You know, but the idea is that it is possible to do that kind of stuff. And that's what's scary is because then you really can control all of us. Because if you create a huge national disaster in the United States, I mean, you've got all of us in panic. I mean, like we're experiencing on the coast. I mean, it's almost like a test run. You know what I mean? To see what people do when you tell them that it's a natural disaster. How quickly can we round them up into camps? How quickly can we disassociate them from their homes and their protected areas and round them up to however we want, you know, into FEMA camps, you know, how quickly can we, you know, round them up into these camps and
quicker now to get all these Marines from Iraq that have been there for like 36 months, all hardcore coming over here to police us for a year, not as a drill, but actually as their reassignment. So a little quicker than maybe before. But I think about the North American Union, and it might be a little bit more than trade. It could be there to import in foreign troops. You know, when you take a look at some of these Chinese bases that are being positioned down there in all Mexico and the Panama Canal. So, yeah, scary scenario. Hey, Kyle, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, well, you know, what Chris was saying earlier, you know, about being able to, you know, if they have control over certain aspects of the weather, you know, I still think that there's some out there that, you know, are totally beyond their control, and I think we need to, you know, use our due diligence on some of that. But imagine, you know, what it would be, though, for, you know, the geopolitical sense. Shakespeare once said the world is a stage. And that was in a time of where, you know, only the actors could act out and say, but what if now if you could control setting? Because, I mean, if you look at the world in a literary sense, if you could control setting, you know, if you've watched movies, you know, the setting can control the mood and the tone and the attitude. So, I mean, it's excellent out there. It's an excellent prospect to think about. But I think we have to be careful about it in some aspects, you know. If we start saying, you know, this earthquake was an inside job and that one, I mean, we can turn off a lot of people and we can, you know, as you said before, we're crying wolf and we can discredit ourselves from other important, you know, things that we're talking about.
Yeah, we have to use a little bit of discernment. We have a break coming up. We'll be back in about 3 minutes' time.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network. It's not left. It's not right. It's the state versus you. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
All right, we're back. We have about 11 minutes till this program is over, and we'll be followed by Eric Horwu, I believe. There's a number of different shows here at WTPRN. I just want to say, and then we'll go back to Christopher. Christopher, I believe, was saying something before he went out to break, but I'm doing a show Monday through Friday from 1 to 3 Pacific time, 3 to 5 Central. And you can get that information on where that is over at alexhanser.com. All right, go ahead, Christopher.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, as far as what the last guy's comment was, you know, one of the main things would be, you know, is just the fact that you got to be careful of being a part of groupthink. You know, you can't just jump into something just because people are saying it. And I think, like, you know, that ties into the modern day, like right now, just one of our movements that of Truthers One is, there's a lot of facts basing it, but there's a lot of people running around, you know, screaming 9/11 truth, but yet, you know, they don't really understand or haven't even done the research to really be able to back up the facts, you know, and so it's kind of giving us guys who really have done the research and are really, you know, cared about this movement and really understand what it means to know that our government did an inside job. You know, I think it's really given us a bad rep, and that's a scary thing, but, I mean, you know, that's a sad thing, but it's a true thing that
always comes with everything that, you know, happens. I mean, there's always the idea of a groupthink, you know, coming along and kind of wrecking it. And, you know, I mean, if we can prevent it, you know, let's try to do that. And that's, you know, that ties into the whole weather mod thing. There's not a lot of people out there that even know HARP or understand the idea of weather modification or know about chemtrails. You know, I mean, people don't understand what we've been doing since the 70s. You know, I mean, one of my past roommates is, you know, grew up in the 60s and 70s, and he grew up with them talking about, you know, weather modification and all that kind of stuff, you know, and it's just been perfected since this day and age. And even he didn't understand how far we've come, you know, but, you know, you just got to be careful. You know, you got to be careful. Don't just start blurting out stuff you just read. Research it, you know, do the research and really understand where this stuff's coming from, because if not, you're just a zombie. You're part of groupthink, and you're just as bad as these kids who like Britney Spears and watch MTV 24/7. You're just as bad, even if you're part of the 9/11 Truth Movement, because you're not doing any of the research. You know, you're just another zombie.
Yeah, yeah, good point. And Lee Rogers from RogueGovernment.com, he wrote an article about 9/11 Truth Movement fails to create change, and he was pointing out some of the stuff that you were talking about. And Alex Jones got all angry, started reading parts of it on the air, accusing the other side of being agent provocateurs. And so, yeah, it gets to be a little bit ridiculous at times. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, Kyle, did you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, actually, you know, I mean, this is the whole point, too. I mean, you know, we can be, you know, if we're accused of criticizing anybody by any move or accused of being agent provocateurs, no, what we're trying to do is we want to plan things up systemically. We want them to affect change. I mean, we just don't want to, you know, there's I kind of tend to see things, and cause I'm also a student of science and mathematics and, you know, all these things. I take myself through all these proofs, you know. And what Lee suggested is absolutely true. I mean, if we're going to do the work, our force has to be in the direction that we want to go. I mean, if we're, you know, work only happens in the direction of where you're pushing it. If we're trying to pull it up when we want to go to the right, we're not making much. We're applying a lot of force, but we're not getting any work done. So we've got to be able to take those avenues, and, you know, as much as, you know, I'm glad people out there are taking action, you know, I would just, you know, say, hey, can we not take a step back, and, you know, hey, can we think about some other, you know, excellent ideas out there? Hey, why don't we go take a marketing class they're using on us? Why not find a good way to use this tool out there? You know, that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, well said. Well, we have to adapt to the coming changes. I want to thank you guys both for calling in.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, thank you both. Alex. And, you know, we'll be back in about 7 days from now. We're about done with the show here. I'm going to mention a couple headlines in closing here, just at least say that I brought a couple new headlines to the show. And that was a good conversation. And more people should call as well and share their perspective. We have a lot more in common than we think at times. And, you know, like I said, I'm doing that show Monday through Friday now, and it's going to be a lot of work, but I really don't know how long the web's going to be around, so I think I'm going to do a little bit more research into some of these things I've been talking about and trying to make more connections and share them while, you know, we have this free flow of information at our fingertips. And I think it's a really eerie reality to have all that information and to be able to provide other people with information to give them DVDs or CD-ROMs full of text documents, perhaps articles all saved on a CD-ROM, you know, but they have to feel like it affects them. Well, I mean, take a look at this headline. Millions spend half of income on housing. That comes to us from the AP, and this is kind of like a worldwide thing, kind of like how utilities on average are going to go up 40% on a global scale. I mean, first it came out on the BBC, and, you know, then I'm reading about it in the in the local paper, in the local NBC affiliate, talking about Portland rates going up about 40%. You know, it's just the same thing over and over and over. We are all being affected by this controlled economic collapse, and that's a big difference than an accidental collapse or something that, you know, just happened to the Bush administration or happened to the U.S. government. You know, we're being sucked dry. It's a bottomless pit of debt. Anyway, a couple other headlines. Hu Jintao hopes the United States has, you know, brighter times ahead in terms of their economy, perhaps, or else. And again, we have, you know, the whole situation with Venezuela and Russia working together militarily, and nuclear bomber patrols going on in the Pacific. FDIC insurance fund, it actually doesn't exist. There was also a terrorist attack at the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad, Pakistan. And there's a number of people asking the question why the U.S. Marines had rented out a whole two floors before this took place, and there were trucks seen going into the building. So those questions are actually being asked at this time, whether you are aware of this or not. And I think things are going to heat up between India and Pakistan. Again, there's a big power void in Pakistan right now with Musharraf out. And, you know, we see the tensions rising there. We see the Taliban with more power than ever, ironically. In Afghanistan, the heroin trade has absolutely exploded. Human trafficking has increased in Afghanistan. And we don't see a whole lot of American politicians or other politicians or the UN or anyone for that matter talking about pulling out of Afghanistan, just pulling out of Iraq. It's always about pull the troops out of this zone and put them in that zone. And even Barack Obama talks about how we should be in Afghanistan and not Iraq. So there's still a part of the war machine that's still supporting the official conspiracy theory provided by the government pertaining to 9/11, which states that the terrorists came from Afghanistan, when even their own official conspiracy theory states they're Saudi Arabian in nature. I mean, the whole thing is just, none of it makes sense. But as Alan Dulles said, the old director of the CIA, Americans don't read. And he's absolutely correct, more so than he might know himself, because more Americans did read than they do now, if you look at the percentage of the population reading. It's a scary situation. It's a frightening situation. But we do create our own reality, and if people want to live in a world of Second Life and fantasy football, well, so be it. They'll live in that world. But they'll deal with the consequences. They'll deal with the pain. But it is the pain, I believe, that's going to lead us home, that's going to lead us to a bright new future, that's going to show us that, you know, there are certain consequences when you do certain things. You know, put your hand on a hot stove, you're going to get burnt. It's part of our learning experience. There's a lot of stuff I didn't like going through when I was younger. I went through a lot before I started doing the show a couple years ago. And it contributed to my character, at least. It challenged me to question my reality and take a look at the world a whole different way. And I'm starting to do that again with even more energy. Like the energy I had 4 years ago, I'm trying to look even deeper into what's really going on, because, you know, people, you know, look to me for solutions, and I'm, you know, just trying to gather information here, just like you guys, and just kind of centralize some of this info, this news, read it, and provide it to you guys, and maybe we can figure out a solution together. I mean, you know, you can at least come up with a diagnosis, at least for yourself, in this scenario, when you can accurately describe the problem or the disease that we're experiencing here, this cancerous plague that's affected our species, that's threatening our very existence, our very survival in the future. So that's what this is really about. It's about the big picture and doing what we can do while we can get this information out. All right, the website's alexanswer.com. A couple other websites I'll recommend: blacklistednews.com, rents.com, davidicke.com. It's got some decent information. I guess Alex Jones is going to be on coasttocoastam.com in about 1 hour's time, so I'm going to be checking that out. Until next time, I'm Alex Hanser reminding you that the path to the ultimate truth is in the mainstream media or through a White House spokesman. It's within. See you next week. Good night.